everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you in here with us on Clear Channel around the world with a Shepherd's Call. Got a great message for you tonight entitled, The Exclusiveness of Israel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you go back in the Bible, most people that read the old parchment, or what is known as the Old Testament, they have no trouble that God directed all of His references to His people, a people that basically shared His genetic genes. He talked of Israel as His firstborn, starting with Adam. But when we get into the New Testament, due to the way the Bible has been worded, a bad translation, if you will, and could have been done purposely, as they have tried to change His times and His laws, and His laws was those written in the Psalms and the Old Testament prophets in view of what has been written, shown from the Old Testament. Now, it might be seen for the first time with new eyes as tonight we look into what the exclusiveness of Israel means. Is the Bible written to? I'm talking about both the Old and the New Covenant. Is it written exclusively to, for, and about one people? We think so. And to prove that, we're going to have to cross some of the traditional doctrine and that which is known as the church and the multiracial redemption for all of the world. You see, Christ said in the New Testament, go only, now he chose his 12 apostles. Every one of these apostles were Israelites. Every one of them. With the exception of Judas, and he was an Edomite. So he chose one, and one was a devil. Of course, the devil, when you would do good, evil's always present. But we're going to get into the exclusiveness and show you that the church is not multiracial. The church is two, four, and about still one people. And the law was written as a covenant two, four, and about one people. Now, if we look in the quotations made from the New Testament, you'll note that many references to the fathers regarding to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the people that addressed in the Acts and the Epistles, are the children or descendants of these fathers. Stephen wrote of them, Paul wrote of them, and many of the New Testament church fathers wrote of these, that they were descendants of, exclusively. Well, how did we ever get the notion that the Bible was to all of the other peoples of the earth? And you say, well, buddy, what kind of a loving God would exclude the people, other people? Look like we could all have a right to the tree of life. And yet that's not true. And I'll give you a for instance in Romans 9:4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Who are Israelites? So the promises and the covenants and the adoption do not apply to anyone other than Israelites. Now, when I say Israel or Israelites, most people in this modern era of time
their mind runs right back over to the place that since 1948 has been known as Israel, or the land of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Israel is. Israel is a collective people from the blood of Jacob scattered abroad. The book of James says it quite well. To the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Christ told his disciples in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go only to. Now, was he excluding when he said, go only to? Or was he including when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned? Well, through some of the bad translations of the English Bible, we have been made to believe that God wanted to save all the world. And yet, the Bible is written to, for, and about the exclusiveness of one people, His people. My people which are called by My name. My people which are called by My name. Now, nowhere in the Bible does God ever intend to save the devil or his children. You say, well, I didn't know that the devil had any children. By all measurement standards, there is more of the children of the devil or the children of darkness than there are of the children of light or the children of Yahweh. The Bible said that the children of darkness are much wiser, and so what they have done, they have used false prophets. These are those who have preached an all-inclusiveness instead of the exclusiveness that I'm going to teach on tonight, which are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises to whom it is written. So the promises and the covenants and the adoption only apply to Israel or Israelites scattered abroad, not that little nation in the sandbox. For the promise was to Abraham in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis and in the 15th chapter and the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. It was to note that Yahweh was going to have a people that would be moving out of that area, that would fill the earth with a people. And we know through history that in 721 B.C., that the 10 northern rebellious tribes who loved the nations round about, the people round about, they wanted to congregate with them, they wanted to worship with them, they wanted their God to be their gods. They wanted to forget Yahweh. And so, Yahweh turned them up, or over, to a reprobated mind. And that's what we're going up against today, is that Yahweh has sent us the prophets, the true prophets, because there's many false prophets went out and deceived many. They that are of Yahweh will hear Yahweh's exclusive word to, for, and about one people. In Luke 1, 32 and 33, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Yahweh shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob. The house of Jacob is a genetic bloodline exclusively from the blood of Jacob. And if you don't have that blood in you, there's no promises written to you in the Bible. You may claim them. You may say that you feel good. In Luke 1:16, the Messiah came, and many of the children of Israel shall he, the Messiah, turn to Yahweh, their God. So the purpose, the entire purpose of his coming, and the Bible said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of Yahweh. Even to them that believe in his name. That believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. Name is a family institution. The family of Yah, the children of Yah, the sons of Yah. Jacob, or Isaac, was his firstborn. Genesis 21, and Yahweh visited Sarah and did unto her, and she conceived and brought forth a son, and they called his name Isaac, and the sons of Isaac, the Saxton, the Caucasian race, exclusively, have dwelt in the earth as pilgrims and strangers that they are, because they chose to go abroad. They wanted to be like the heathen, so what did Yahweh? Gave them up to strange lusts and affections and scattered them among the heathen because they wanted to be like the heathen. But that don't take away the exclusiveness that his covenant and his promise, his redemption, he shall be great and called the Son of the Highest, and he shall take the throne of David and reign forever over the house of Jacob. Not over the house of Africa or over the house of wherever, Timbuktu, but over the house of Jacob, exclusively to, for, and about one people. So salvation is for the Israelites. Exclusiveness indicating it is a kingdom to be restored to Jacob. Yahweh's promises will be fulfilled in those to whom they were made. Everything which offends will be gathered out of the kingdom, as we're told in Luke 1:54. He hath opened and his servants, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So the exclusiveness of Israel is mercy is always spoken as being to Israel only. And we become the sons of Yahweh strictly by observing only one thing. And that one thing is that we are His simply because the Bible says that we're a bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Oh, it's amazing that we could claim a heritage. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what about the Bible that says in John chapter 3 and verse 3 that we've got to be born again? And so the Christian concept of the Catholic Church, which is nothing but a whore that has crept in and changed the word of Yahweh to include rather than exclude. They included all the types of people upon the earth, anything you can chase, drag, or pull onto the church parking lot, and the denominational, which hated the whore, the Protestant rebellion, which hated the whore and came out of her, and they formed an exclusive club among themselves. And heaped to themselves teachers, having itching ears, whatever the crowd wanted to hear. That's basically what the preachers began to preach. Oh yeah, they mix it with just enough truth. You see, if they preach 90% truth and 10% error, the 10% error is enough to negate the truth that they preach. Because it's like being almost persuaded. Well, are we really born again? Let me read you this text here. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, He cannot enter the kingdom of God, and that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, that you must be born again. Now, that's reading out of the exact words of the King James Bible. In most translations, the words born again have been carried on in a traditional manner, suggesting that a second birth is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. Now, is that true? Well, let's find out. When we look into the words actually spoken, we find that it was Nicodemus who made the suggestion about entering a second time into his mother's womb. This was the interpretation that Nicodemus put on Jesus' words, but Jesus did not say anything about a second time, even in the translations that make him appear to say that he did. Jesus did not use the word again. It's been added. There is no manuscript at all that says the Messiah used the word again. The word deuteros that Nicodemus spake appears in the New Testament 44 times, and it always means twice or again. That's the word they put in there, but that's not the original word. He did not, the Messiah, did not, and I repeat, he did not use the word that means twice, deuteros. He only used the word anothing, Strong's number, Greek, 509, anothing, includes from above or from the first. Now, remember that. The definition of the word used in the actual text Greek is that he was born not again, but from above. That's what the Messiah said, and Nicodemus, along with the translators, took it to mean that he had entered the second time to get a second birth. That's what he was referring to. And most people say, well, Nicodemus didn't understand that the Messiah was talking about, you have to come down to the church altar and pray till you're born again. That ain't what he said. That is not what the original language or the intent of the scripture, because Strong's number 509, anothing, includes from above or from the first. In the Fire Dictionary, anothing used of things that come from heaven, from God, or from a higher upper place, or from the very first, or from the origin. So the origination of your birth had to be before the foundation of the world. And true to form, the Bible said that he came for a family that was with him from the foundation of the world with their names on the Lamb's book from the foundation. You can't be born again. That's after the fact. But you've got to be born from above. That is the fact. So, an upper, higher place. The Messiah said, I am from a upper, higher place. I am from above. That's exactly what he was talking about. Anothing. From the original, or from a very high place, or from the origin of existence. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And the proper concept is that you have to come down to the altar and pay the church your indulgences, which is what the Catholic Church was after. That's why they changed this word and put again that you had to come down and be born again. And it opened the door for all races, creeds, and colors to come in and to present themselves to God, and God would select the ones that came to him and humbled themselves, and they prayed that they would get saved and they would, quote-unquote, be born again. The Baptists have got a way to be born again. The Catholics have got a way to be born again. The Methodists have got a method of how to be born again. The Mormons have got their doctrine to be born again. But the original scriptures did not tell you to be born again. It says to be born from above. You must be born. Christ said it. You must be born from above. Now that changes the whole complexion. The word anothen that the Messiah used appears 14 times in the New Testament, and it does not have a meaning similar to deuteros, or second time, or paulin, which means again, the latter being the word most commonly translated as again. This verb, anothen, always relates to place, and is used of past or former time, but never in a future time. In order to discuss the word anothen, you've got to consider how the word has been translated in Matthew 27:51 and Mark 15:38. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. We're talking about the adverb anothen, from the top. You got to be born from the top, or from its origin, wherever you came from. If you weren't His before the foundation of the world, it's evident you're not going to be His. I don't care how many times you're born again, and the church gives you a registry and a church card to carry to prove, and a certificate that you have been baptized dutifully into the congregation, that don't mean that you're born from above. And the genetic mystery of how Yahweh could claim that Adam was a son of Yahweh. He was a son of Yahweh, an offspring of Yahweh. Abraham was an offspring of Adam, a son of Yahweh. And the genealogy reflects the actual fact that this was from above, not again. If it was again, then it would be true, and the way that seems right would be the right way other than the way that is right. So again is the same right way, and above is the way. I am from above, and you are from beneath. Anything that is from beneath is not going to have the selection process of birth from above, because that's after the fact. If you're not born before the fact, Jeremiah was born from his mother's womb from above. He was selected from above. He didn't come into the world and become a preacher. He was a preacher before he ever came into the world. You see what I'm talking about? John 3:31. He that cometh from above is above all. John 19:11. Except it were given thee from above. John 19:32. Now the coat was without seam woven from the top throughout. Acts 26:5. Which knew me from the beginning. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And they say the gift of God is to be born again. But the gift of God is from above before you were ever born. If you weren't His before you were born, you're not going to be His after you're born. I don't care how many times that you select from some church dogma to get religion and walk religiously. We have a lot of those. In the last day, many will stand before Him and say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in Your name? And He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. None of these indicate again, in any sense, because it says it's from above. And that word, which appears four times, is anothen. Anothen. Born from above. Strong's number 509. from above or from the first or from the origin. Oh man, I like that. Predestinated. My sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, because they've been with me from above. I'm from above, and they're not of this world. But I have chosen them out of this world. We came down here on a mission to put this world in divine spiritual order. And yet we got caught up in the mire of the flesh, and we've done a miserable job in doing so. And the reason that we have done such a poor job is because of poor translation and misunderstanding and fleshly and carnal minds, which cannot please God. If you don't fast and pray and seek Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and mind to get your spiritual direction, Christ told Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews and you don't know these things, Nicodemus? You must be born from above. And Nicodemus, being so carnal, selected the thought process, well, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? And Christ rebuked him for his misunderstanding. Luke 1 and 3, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. There's that word again. John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. John 19:11, again, except it be given thee from above. 2 John 19, or John 19:23, now the coat was without a seam, woven from the top throughout, Acts 26:5, which knew me from the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't spiritually known Him, if He hadn't known you, if you're not bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, if you're not genetically a child as was Adam, as was Abel, and the adoption process of Adam's sons was selected purposely as a substitute, just like the animals of the Old Covenant were a substitute for the sacrifice of the body of Himself. For in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Word, the living model, that clay temple which entombed the Holy Spirit, that was the origin from that which is above. And everything that was turned out of heaven, He come to recover. And He said, all that the Father, all that the Spirit has given me, I have lost none. Born. Now, let's look at the word born. Begetting and birth are two vastly different events. And I'm going to prove that to you. Begetting, as used of men, is the action and process of conception. For example, Abraham begot Isaac. As it is written in Matthew 1:16, birth as used of women is movement from one environment to another. For example, Mary, of whom the Messiah was born. The word geneno varies with the context, and it may have an abstract meaning also where it is used as figuratively father-child relationship, as it's recorded in 1 Corinthians 4:15. The word born in John is geneno, and it is found 98 times in the New Testament, and the sense usually has conception with procreation. The most prominent meaning being begot or begotten. We must now determine the time when this begotting takes place. All modern teachers insist that people already born can be reborn in the future. But when used of a male, begotten is usually about the time of conception, and when born is usually of a female, it is usually about physical birth. And we'll actually review in Byers' dictionary. It is of mankind begetting children. Vine, chiefly used of men begetting children. If we want to understand its use in John 3:3, it is necessary to look at the Greek, which does not indicate future tense, but it indicates past tense, born from above. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if that's true, then that's just an exclusive club. You're trying to say that everything that wasn't predestinated ain't going to make it. That's exactly what I'm saying. I am saying that if you are not predestined before the foundation of the world with your name on the Lamb's book, I don't care how much you beg, I don't care how much you plead, I don't care how many times you go down to the altar and get born again, if you're not born from above, it ain't going to do you no good. Because again, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death, and from such turn away. That's what the Bible said. Except a man be born again is in total error. We have been taught so wrongly to use the words except a man be born again in the future tense that it is hard for many to think otherwise, but be born is indefinite with respect to time. The Messiah taught exactly what is taught through the Old Testament, namely that God's race is born from an original sowing. Oh my, I like that. I love the fact that I was His before the world was. I love the fact that I was with Him from the foundation of the world. I don't know where you were, but I know I was. I have a distinct reckoning of understanding through the Word and through the Gospel and the calling of a pilgrim and a stranger, alien to this world, coming down here to do the work that I was chosen to do, with the key element of proof. There is something that you must do. The Bible said, except you're born of the water and the Spirit. Now, the Spirit has a pretense calling. Selection is before the foundation of the world. Christ was selected before the foundation of the world to do what He done, and yet He got baptized. Suffer it to be so for now, for thus it behooves us to fulfill the Word, the written Word. And so He waded out into the Jordan River, not because He was a sinner, but because He was laying the example or the grave foundation for us to follow in His footsteps. And as many have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's where the separation or the rubber meets the road. Yahweh's looking for an obedient people, and He knew that His sons and His daughters would go and do what He said to do. Why call me Yahweh and do not the things that I say to do? So after the fact that you are found that you are born from above, the rest of the walk is obedience. Learning obedience. Christ was born from above, but He learned obedience. The Word was the test, the litmus test. And if you can't put on the whole armor, if you can't obey the commandments, if you can't love Him as though you already knew Him, you're not going to love Him because you think you know Him. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something inside that gives you this love. It's not artificial. It's not a put-on, although most churches have nothing but a hypocritical put-on pretense. But it has to be past tense. It has to be genuine origin from above, not again. Oh, and it's marvelous. It's marvelous to understand what Yahweh has talked about, that the original God who chose Israel, His firstborn, This was Isaac, his firstborn, as a result of Genesis 21 and 1. Yahweh himself, born of his genetic bone, ladies and gentlemen, the sons of Yah, not born again, but born from above. And so then, Yahweh is exclusively declaring to you, as he is as a father in Exodus 4:22. Listen to this. The Messiah taught his disciples, who are all Israelites, to pray, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." It's better translated, "Our Father, the one in heaven." Now, neither God nor man can be called a father until they have begotten offspring. There is no suggestion of a spiritual birth later in life. God states that he is the father in Exodus 4:22. Therefore, he begot offspring and is the father of all descendants from Israel. And the Apostle Peter declares that we Israelites to whom he was writing are begotten from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Begotten from above. Now, I've got to point out that in this verse, the incorruptible seed of God, the Father, is S-P-O-R-A-S, sporas, rather than sperma. The meaning of this word, sporas, is the sowing back in the past, or sown seed, and refers to the firstborn Isaac conceived in Sarah's womb after God had regenerated Sarah and her ability to conceive a child in her old age. Now appropriate to place and to look at Sarah and Abraham, who are shown to be the place of origin, being that originating rock or quarry, and from the pit from which we're hewn. Abraham and Sarah, the origin. Abraham being a son of Adam. Sarah being a daughter of Adam. The origination of the original seed. Yahweh overshadowed Sarah, and she got Israel's firstborn, and therefore God became a father. Just like he overshadowed Mary and got the last born. He came himself. He embodied himself. Heaven was searched and beneath the earth was searched. No one found worthy. Substitutes varied. Weaknesses were found. The covenant had a fault. And so therefore, God, even God himself, left the throne as an eternal spirit, pressed himself into a body of flesh by overshadowing Mary. And the fact that it had happened before seems to startle some people. If he could do it once, he could do it again. And that's the mystery and the element of a past tense, being born from above rather than from the fact of present tense, which is again. From Adam to Abraham, Adam's pure line contained the breath of life. Isaiah 51. Hearken unto me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek Yahweh. Look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from where you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. It's necessary for you to see that the word that Yahweh is talking about here is sparas, in the sowing in the past. A people of his genetics. Israel, my firstborn. And the sons and the offspring go only to the lost sheep. I am the good shepherd of Ezekiel chapter 34, saith Yahweh. And I will both seek and search out my sheep. In that day, behold, it is I. John chapter 10. Sporas, the sowing of the past, or sown seed, and it's not a sperma, which is the corruptible. Everybody thinks that they got to be born again, when in reality you must be born from above, according to the proper language. See, ladies and gentlemen, by your word you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. The Bible said that Noah was pure in his generation, Genesis 6 and 9. And so if he was, and his unmixed family were preserved, as later the children of Israel were to destroy the mixed breed of the Canaanites, those that could not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because he said, my word has no place in you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a people that cannot understand. There is a sperm, the literal offspring of Satan, and those that are deceived by him and his false prophets, for many of the house of Israel not being able to obtain the knowledge, the failure to obey, failure to keep his commandments, failure to seek him, for the enlightenment that only comes from above and not again. Oh, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. The principle is a continuing theme throughout the Bible. As Yahweh himself established the basis for Abraham's seed to become the sons of God, as it is recorded in John 1 and 12. God was making a new beginning with Abraham. None other than the seed of Abraham through the son of promise, Isaac, is this opportunity or potential of Sporah. Abraham's seven other sons did not have this potential, because Abraham left everything to his firstborn, which was not his firstborn by flesh, but firstborn by spirit, to Isaac, the son of Yahweh. Yahweh said, He is my firstborn. Oh my. The firstborn. The descendants of Isaac were begotten of the Spirit from their conception. This is why those among Isaac's descendants who believed are regarded as being anointed by the Spirit, that is written in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul is able to declare, now he who establishes us with you in Christ, the anointed, of us in God, who also has sealed us and have given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, Paul, confirming this, tells the brethren, which is the kinsman of the same womb of Sarah, that they have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. He says that through this we might know or comprehend the things that are freely given to us, the brethren of God. He goes on to further declare that the natural man, those not born of Isaac's line, cannot receive the things of God in the Spirit. He affirms the Messiah's statement that anyone who is not begotten of the original sowing in the womb of Sarah cannot see the kingdom of God. John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received abideth in you. 1 John 3 and 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit or practice sin, for his seed remains in him and cannot sin. In this, the discernment between the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil. What voice, what tongue will rise against you in judgment? There'll be none. You are the seed, the spora, are the offspring of God Himself in you, the hope of glory. How could God judge Himself? How could the devil cast Himself out? If the devil cast out the devil, then his kingdom is divided. And of course, that would be likewise for Yahweh Himself. Yahweh's not going to hate His own flesh and blood. Yahweh's not going to deny his children. All that were ever mine will come to me. Listen to this one. Isaiah 44:2. Thus saith Yahweh, that made thee, Israel, and formed you in the womb. Who done the work? Yahweh done the work. Isaiah 44:2. Thus saith Yahweh, that made you and formed you from the womb. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this is more than being born again. You can go to any church altar and be born again and get the credentials of the church that you are a bona fide, card-carrying member of the born-again church. But if you're born from above, that's exclusive. It's two, four, and about. One people. The genetic offspring of Yahweh. The womb. Born from the womb. Relationship between anointing and the right seed. Being begotten. And we know in John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. The inward man can't sin, he's perfect. The outward man that carries the vessel is full of mistakes and faults, but Yahweh is willing to overlook that because he understood it, because he himself became a man of like passion. He learned obedience. And the greatest blessing in this life for the seed of Yahweh that are born from above is to learn obedience. To learn the voice, to walk with him. As it is quoted in Isaiah 51. Formed in the womb. In what way would Israel be formed in the womb? Whose womb? The word between means what we mean today by the womb. Men do not have a womb. Abraham did not have a womb, but Sarah did. And therefore she became the mother of the firstborn. Isaac, my firstborn. Yahweh himself, using the substitute of Adam, who was a son of Yahweh, used Adam's sons as substitutes until he correctly picked a descendant for the womb. Speaking of Sarah, we find the worm womb described as the hole of the pit. This metaphor is a term that extends to the mountain from which the stone kingdom is taken. This is Yahweh's mind. James, who was writing of the 12 tribes, said, of his own will begot us, the Israelites, with whom the word of truth, begot, as has been shown, is chiefly about conception and not physical birth. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith Yahweh that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. This verse indicates a difference between Israel and Jacob. Here we have the one being created and the other formed. So there are differences associated with the use of these words in different contexts. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith Yahweh, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am Yahweh that maketh all things. Here again, Yahweh is speaking to Israel only. Nowhere in Scripture can we find reference to Yahweh being the Redeemer of any other people apart from those who He chose and who are formed from the womb. And in the New Testament, we still find references to the womb of Sarah. And it's important as ever in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament, as it is written in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, which was energized in 21 Genesis by Yahweh himself. Contained in the first verse of this chapter, we see Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh. The father of us all, that is Israelites, of verse 16, is Abraham after the flesh. This still is not a spiritual rebirth. Remember that Paul was writing to the house of Israel to whom he was sent. And Nicodemus, as a master or teacher in Israel, should have known these things. And that's why that the Messiah told him in no uncertain terms, "Nicodemus, art thou a ruler in Israel and knowest not these things?" Oh, what was hid from his eyes by the blindness and the corruption of the Pharisaical concepts of the flesh mind. The common New Testament word brethren, as has been shown, is kinsman of the womb. Brethren. Kinsman of the womb. What other womb would this be other than the womb of Sarah from the firstborn? The one that Yahweh chose. The direct work, the direct offspring of Yahweh Himself. Being the progenitor. And as it's written in Revelation chapter 22, "I am the root and the offspring of David." David was born not again, but from above. He was chosen from the foundation of the world, as he was selected by himself. Yahweh, by himself, selected him. And can the clay say to the potter, "What or why have you made me thus?" Could Esau redeem himself, though he wept with bitter tears at the altar? Most churches would have saved Esau if they'd have seen the tears and the sincerity of Esau weeping for a birthright. The church would have granted him one readily. They'd have handed him a card, and he would have been a card-carrying Christian in today's standards. You know what the case of misunderstanding is when he came to his own? John 1:11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God." Verse 11 is almost completely misunderstood by the whole of Christendom today. And the main cause of this misunderstanding, the word "own" appears twice in the verse, but in the first clause. It is neuter, gender, while in the second it is masculine. Therefore, John is referring to two different things, often misunderstood for the first clause. That's the word appears twice. In the first clause, states that he came to his own possession, the neuter, the gender, or the genetic, or the offspring. His land, his kingdom, his city, his temple. And the second clause, the term "his own," is the Greek term aodios, masculine gender, which means literally the members of one's own household. In this case, it refers only to those who had authority over his kingdom, city, and temple, as the mass majority of Israel were scattered abroad into dispersion. And at that time, were still classed as not my people. Before we can complete the translation of verse 11, we have to look at the beginning of verse 12. And the Greek text of verse 12 begins, "But to those who did receive him," in this clause, and in the last clause of verse 11, we have another instance of the translating two different Greek words as one English word "end." This case, "received," the last clause of verse 11 states in effect that those who were ruling over his possessions neither received nor accepted him as the owner. It points to the outright rejection, not through ignorance, which is covered by the phrase "does not recognize him" in verse 10, but by willful refusal to accept him as the rightful owner. However, in the first sentence of verse 12, the word "received" was the meaning of to welcome or to accept willingly. Hence, while the Judean nation rejected him at a national level, there were individuals in that nation who had both the ability to recognize and receive him gladly, as it is recorded in verse 11 and 12, which we read in the text. "But they that received him," they that gladly received his word, as it is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Rightful ownership of being born not again, but born from above. Well, you got my message tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call, and you've been listening to our message tonight, the exclusiveness of Israel, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, to one people, the white, the Caucasian race, the blushing race of Jacob Israel, chosen before the foundation of the world, called with a holy calling, born not again but from above, from the origin of the womb of Sarah, came forth the firstborn, from the root and the offspring of the progenitor Yahweh himself, being the chief cornerstone from which you're hewn. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know where this is above your head tonight, but if it's not, call me. You can call me tonight at area code 423-626-2172. And that's area code now, 423-626-2172. Let me know how we come in on WWRB 3.185 around the world, Clear Channel tonight. Give us a radio check. Just call us up and chat with us. Call me back. Or if I need to call you back, I can call you back on my nickel. And it won't cost you anything. Praise Yahweh. And that's how devoted and dedicated we are to seek out those that are born from above. We're not interested in those that's born again. I'm interested in those that have the revelation of being born from above. If you've been with him from the foundation of the world, if you've been chosen and predestinated, I need to hear from you tonight. If you're one of those disciples that was born before you ever came into this world in the flesh body, if you were alive before you ever came here and placed in a flesh body, if you were akin to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet that was born from his mother's womb and called with a holy calling before he ever came here, predestinated, as it's written in Acts and of the apostles, predestinated, as it's written in Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians chapter 1, predestinated and called with a holy calling. That holy calling is the genetic of Yahweh. I'm a son of Yahweh. Oh my. I ain't been born again. I've been born from above. I knew it from a child that I was born from above. The sons of God. The sons of God. It's translated wrong. The Greek phrase is tenekotheo, which means children of God, immature children, no doubt. But it does not mean sonship, for sonship points to growth and ultimate maturity, nor does it have anything to do with the false doctrine of adoption. On the contrary, the phrase forcibly asserts a natural genetic relationship of the child with its true father, and hence those children of God are the biological descendants of God himself. And I can't say it no plainer. And tonight, if you'd like to write me, address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284 in New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Ladies and gentlemen, the old time clock has caught me. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 5070, and then Monday night again, live on Monday night at 9 o'clock. You can be your pastor buddy again. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you on down the line.